Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. This morning I preached from verse 17, and this evening we're going to be in verses 7 through 10. But let's begin reading in verse number 3. Once you find your place, let's stand together. Galatians 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That means when the preacher is preaching to you, you're supposed to say amen back to him. Actually, that communicate means to give back. If you're taught, don't just come and sit. Give back. Don't be a one-way street. Be a two-way street in this matter of teaching and being taught. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our passage tonight is very special to me because about 25 years ago, after hearing a great message on verse 9 from Brother Smith, I made that my life verse, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And this verse has seen me through a lot of dry spells in my ministry. It has encouraged me to keep sowing, trusting that in due season, a time of harvest would come, a time of reaping. And I have had a lot of dry spells, but I've also had a lot of times where I've seen God give a harvest. And I have to be reminded sometimes that in due season is God's timing, not mine. But it's my responsibility to sow the seed and work and wait patiently for God's harvest. This passage in Galatians 6 teaches us about one of the most important laws in God's universe, and that is the law of sowing and reaping, or the law of the harvest. God created everything, and everything must operate within the laws that He established for His creation. The universe is not lawless chaos. Aren't you thankful? The sun's going to rise in the morning. It's going to rise in the east, set in the west. You kind of have an idea what the seasons will be like in Texas. It's going to be hot, hotter, less hot, almost hot. I mean, you can pretty much set your calendar by it. And, what would it be like if every day you got up and the world was just chaos? You don't know where the sun's rising, how long the day will be. See, God has everything working according to order and organization and laws of physics. And all these things that we study in science are actually just God's order and His laws in place. What we call nature, Mother Nature does not exist. Mother Earth, Earth is not your mother. I've got a Father God, not a Mother Earth. And so when we talk about nature, nature is really just God's organizational structure in His creation. And everything is under the laws of God for His universe. One of the most important laws that is mentioned in the Scriptures that every Christian should be concerned about is the law of sowing and reaping. This law is enforced both in the natural realm and the spiritual realm. In fact, the natural illustrates the spiritual. We understand the spiritual side of this by studying the natural side. You sow a certain kind of seed, you're going to get that kind of harvest. And that natural law illustrates the spiritual law. This law is referenced as far back as Genesis 8:22, which mentions seed time and harvest. Seed time comes first, then the harvest. It's never harvest and then seed time. You've got to sow and then you reap. This is the law of cause and effect, sowing and reaping, consequences, and harvesting. It is mentioned and illustrated throughout the Bible, as you can imagine, since most people were agricultural for so long, and so many of the stories and illustrations of the Bible and the parables of the Lord Jesus had to do with the harvest and sowing and reaping and such. Now, tonight I want to point out a few thoughts on the law of sowing and reaping. The bottom line is you reap what you sow. Now, that's a law that is comforting to me. It's comforting on both sides to me. I don't have to take vengeance. I just have to let the law of God take effect. You want to hurt me?
You're hurting yourself. You think you're sinning against me, you're only sinning against yourself. You're going to have to reap one day from what you sow. I don't have to get involved in that. I just need to let, you know, I don't even have to want it. I don't even have to do anything about it. You're going to reap what you sow. And so there is some justice in the world, isn't there? The law of sowing and reaping teaches us that there's justice. That for what people do is going to have a consequence one day. I don't have to produce the consequence. I don't have to hate you. I don't have to do anything. You're simply going to face the harvest that you sow. So that's comforting on one side. And it's also comforting to know that the work that I do, that when I sow good seed and I don't see an immediate harvest, that doesn't mean I won't ever see a harvest. I just may have to wait a while for that due season time. But it is also a convicting truth because, hey, I know that all my seed is not good seed because I'm a sinner and I sometimes do things I shouldn't do, and I don't particularly want to see that coming back in a year or 5 years or 10 years. And sometimes you sow some seed and later on you look at it and say, that looks familiar. Yeah, it does, because you sowed that seed and no one else sowed that seed. You sowed that seed. Now you got to reap the harvest. And so let me point out a few thoughts tonight. Nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. Just some very simple thoughts on the law of the harvest. Number one, the law of sowing and reaping is a law of God. It's a law of God. Verse 7 says, be not deceived. Now this is a warning. It's a warning. Apparently it is possible to deceive yourself in this regard. Think you can do whatever you want to and not face consequences for it. Don't deceive yourself. Amen. Don't deceive yourself. I think some folks are so self-righteous that even though they sow bad seed, even when it comes back to them, they say, I didn't do that. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. You sow that seed, it's going to come back. And God is not going to be mocked. You're not going to say, oh, I'm going to do this, but you know, I'm going to get away with it. I'll be the one that gets away with it. You're not going to mock God in that fashion. This is a law of God. And so whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The farmer abides by this law. He wants a crop, maybe he wants corn. What kind of seed would you recommend the farmer plant if he wants corn? What do you think? Y'all aren't listening. Girls. Very good. Corn. Didn't mean to embarrass you guys. So if you want to plant, I'll give you a second chance. If you want a wheat harvest, what would you recommend the farmer plant to get a wheat harvest? Nathan? Wheat seeds, very good. And how do you do that? You buy a box of bran flakes, and you stake and you throw it out there, and it grows up as wheat, right? And if you want corn, you know, you plant corn flakes. Didn't mean to embarrass. Sometimes the preacher will drop a hammer on you and say, what? And so I didn't mean to do that to you. But you plant what you, if you want cotton, you plant cotton seeds. If you want tomatoes, you plant tomato seeds. I mean, it's just common sense, right? The farmer knows he wants a certain kind of harvest. He plants a certain kind of seed. He understands that I can't plant one thing and expect something else. That's silly. That's foolish. It's inconceivable that a man would plant one kind of seed and honestly expect a different kind of harvest. Yet Christians, well, lost people and saved people, think that they can sow to the flesh and reap good things, and that's not going to happen. You can't mock God in His holiness and His judgment and His justice. You're not going to be the one that gets away with it. Okay, if 100 people jump off the roof, 100 people are going to hit the ground. It's a law of gravity. Who made the law of gravity? God did. So, don't mock God. Millions of sinners are hanging on to the thread of hope that somehow they'll be the one that gets into heaven without Jesus Christ. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There are consequences for our actions. Samson thought, you know, I can just do what I sow to my flesh. I can be strong whenever I need to be. And I personally think that Samson looked like a pretty normal guy until the Spirit of God came on him. All of a sudden he had supernatural strength. And could go out there and kill 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. But I can also go visit this harlot in Gaza if I want to. And I can go hang out with this Philistine girl if I want to. And I can go live and shack up with Delilah if I want to. And I can still have the power of God when I need it. He thought he could sow to the flesh and still have the spiritual power in his life. And guess what? He couldn't. Because there came a point where the Spirit of God said, I'm done. And he withdrew from Samson. No longer empowered him. And then when Samson went out there to flex his muscles, guess what he found out? He found out he didn't have the strength to fight the Philistines without God in his life. Ended up blinded, grinding meal, and then under a pile of rubble. That was the end of his life. What about David? David, the man that loved God. God used him to write the Psalms. God used him to unite the kingdom. But I can stay home and I can look at this woman bathing herself at the house next door. And even though I know she's married, I can take her and just have a one-night stand and I'll get away with it. But he didn't get away with it, did he? He sowed to the flesh and he reaped about 20 years of pain. From 50 to 70. Because the sword didn't depart from his house because he committed adultery, and then he committed murder, and he tried to cover it up, and he sowed to the flesh, and guess what? Didn't reap good things out of it. So it's important that we understand that this is a law that is set. You can't just, anytime you go against the laws of God, you are risking harm. And so when engineers design a plane to fly, they work with the laws of God. They don't work against the laws of God. And we need to do the same thing. Number two, the law of sowing and reaping has three definite facts involved. And I'm sure that you can probably, many of you can name these. I've said them so many times, but they're so common sense. Number one, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you sow corn, you can expect corn. You don't expect watermelons when you sow corn. If you sow grass burrs, don't expect tomatoes. And so you're going to reap what you sow. If you want good things down the road, sow a lot of good seed. If you don't want to have bad things down the road, don't sow that bad seed. It's just common sense. Number two, you reap later than you sow. This is why I could not be a farmer. I would not be patient enough. You had to plant that seed. And of course, the farmer knows when it's going to harvest. I mean, they know these things now. I'd have to look it all up. If I were to plant corn, when's it going to start sprouting? You know, I have no idea. I come out the next day expecting to see corn. And that's not how it works. And even though corn grows very fast, and sometimes they say you can actually almost hear it growing, still, it just has to have time to grow. So, you reap later than you sow. Sometimes, in the spiritual sense, it takes years to reap what you've sown. You know, concerning David and Bathsheba, it was a full year before he began to reap. Some people think that just because they sinned and didn't reap immediately, they got away with it. No. That seed's out there somewhere. Ecclesiastes 8 says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So, man, I got away with it. Nothing happened. Now I can do whatever I want to. Nope. Sooner or later, it's going to come back. And so we got to be careful what we sow. You reap later than you sow. Sometimes you think, well, you know, I reap some bad things, but now it's over. Maybe. Maybe. Because the third point is you reap more than you sow. I'll tell you what, at our house, when we first moved out there, we had 3.5 acres. I don't think we had any grass burrs. We didn't have any grass burrs. Going out to my parents' house in Weatherford, there's lots of grass burrs out there. And you drive on the grass and it gets into your tire treads or it gets into your shoes. And then you come back home. And before long, we had little patches of grass burrs here and there. And, you keep the yard cut down and kind of keep them from growing, but sometimes your lawnmower breaks down and your grass grows up quite a bit. And then when you mow them down, those grass burrs, they just fly everywhere. And now you have not just one little patch here. Now you got a patch here. And before long, you got grass burrs everywhere. And now you can't even walk outside without your shoes on. You reap more than you sow. And sometimes we think, man, the harvest is over. Yay! Nope, maybe not. All this is a warning to us. And by the way, sometimes that's a good thing because sometimes you sow a little bit of good and get a lot of good back. I'm kind of emphasizing that. I'm going to get into the positive in a minute. But kind of emphasize the negative because there's a warning to us. Don't be mocked. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You sow some bad things, you're going to reap the same. You're going to reap more. You're going to reap later. So be careful what you sow. But there's also the positive side to that. You're going to reap what you sow more and later than you sow as well. And so one tomato seed may produce many tomatoes. One peach tree may produce many harvests of peaches. And the more you sow, the more you reap, for good or bad. Remember the woman in Elisha? A little bread, in a little room on the side of the house. And she kept reaping and reaping and reaping and reaping, didn't she? And her bread just kept coming back on the water. So you reap what you sow, more than you sow, later than you sow. And then the third point, I kind of got into this already, but the law of sowing and reaping applies for both good and evil. Verse 8, for he that soweth to the flesh or to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the bad seed will be sowing to the flesh. In other words, giving into my sinful desires, giving into my wants, giving into the flesh, giving into my wrong emotions, giving into my wrong thoughts, giving into my wrong actions, saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, being the wrong way. Sin is a multifaceted thing, and every facet's ugly. And so I do the things I shouldn't do, and I say things I shouldn't say, and I act the way I shouldn't act, and I behave the way I shouldn't behave, and I am the way I shouldn't be, and I think what I shouldn't think, and I allow things in my heart that shouldn't be there. What am I doing but sowing to the flesh, allowing the flesh to have its way? That's not going to come to a good harvest. So, sowing to the flesh. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. And I'll tell you where it may come back to. You may be looking at it face to face one day in your children. You start reaping from your own childhood or youth or the way you treated your parents. That ought to scare some people half to death. Really should. And I thank God. I think that when you get saved, some things get under the blood, obviously. Amen. I'm glad I didn't reap from my children, but my kids have never been the way that I was as a young person. But that's under the blood, and there was a total change in my life long before they came along. And I think that can cancel some things out. But a lot of Christians, they don't change the way they act. They get saved, but they still treat their parents the way they always treated their parents. One day they're going to reap exactly what they sowed, and they're not going to like it. And they look at their children and say, wow, you're just like me. You're treating me just the way I treated my parents and still treat my parents. You're going to reap what you sow. It'd be better for you in the long run to be really good to your parents and honor them, because one day you're going to have kids and they're going to be following your example. They're not going to be following your edicts. So, sowing to the flesh. You think about David. David sowed to his flesh a lot. Had way too many women in his life. Did not control his desires. You know what his sons were? Perverts. Rapist. Murderer. Two revolutionaries. And so it's an ugly thing when you sow to the flesh and you start to see that coming back. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. And corruption is just creeping rot. It's not something you want in your life. Then, however, we can always also point out the positive sowing to the Spirit. This is good seed. As opposed to sowing to the flesh, this is doing the right things, being the right way, saying the right things, doing the right things, thinking the right things, being involved in the right things. That's sowing good seed. Amen? That's going to produce a harvest. If sowing to the flesh produces corrupt things, sowing to the Spirit produces good things. So, what should I do? Well, I should sow righteousness and goodness and kindness and good things and obedience to God and treat my parents right and treat my spouse right and treat people right and be faithful to church and all the things. I'm going to discuss some of those in a minute as well. But if I want good things to come back to me, then I need to throw some good things out there. So you can just ask, it's just common sense, what do I want in life? All right, I'm 45 years old. What do I want when I'm 50? 55 or 60. well, I think I would want this, this, and this. All right, then I better start sowing some of that seed now, because I'm going to have to live in that life sooner or later. Amen? And I want to make sure that I have a good harvest waiting for me, not a bad harvest. And so it's just common sense. Just like if you planted a little backyard garden, just in case the Democrats win and our economy falls apart again, and you have some food in the backyard, amen? Our neighbor back behind us, he's kind of a prepper. He's a real nice guy. Real nice guy. I think he's kind of a prepper. They have this huge garden, and now they've got this giant chicken coop. I mean, this is a two-story duplex, with big chicken wire netting. It looks like an industrial size, Colonel Sanders chicken farm back there. And I tell you, that's where I'm going if there's ever trouble. Hey, neighbor, I'll trade you one worthless dog for two chickens. Yeah. Anyway, there's just not much meat on Gizmo. Just not. I mean, I've kind of checked him out, just in case. No? Becky's like, Dad, just preach. All right, so let's move on. So I don't even know how I got off on that. Doesn't matter. You consider it like a commercial break, kind of reset your brain for the next point. All right, now back into tonight's message. All right, so number four, the law of sowing and reaping encourages us to keep sowing and not to faint, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we got to be patient. Can't get weary and tired out in doing the good things that you're supposed to be doing. We never get tired of doing bad things. It's not like I get weary and tired of my mind of wasting my life, wasting my time. But because of our flesh nature, we get tired and weary of doing the right things. And it just goes against our nature. And these days we're going against society, going against the mainstream, going against our flesh, the world, the devil, everything. It's easy to get tired, isn't it? But keep sowing the good seed. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the last thing the church needs is more quitters. The last thing God needs is more quitters. We need more people that just stay in there and keep going doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, preacher, you're leaving. Yeah, but I'm not quitting. God's transferring me. I'm not quitting. The only thing I've quit is cussing. Sometimes some people, but anyway. No, I'm kidding there. But I mean, I don't quit, and you shouldn't quit either. Quitting may cancel out some good reaping that's ahead. You may be this close to due season, and then you throw in the towel and quit, and it cancels it out. It's important to stay in there and stay with it. The church needs people that stick with their ministries. Now, we don't need more quitters. We need more stayers and faithful people. So there's at least three forms of sowing that have special promises of reaping attached in the Bible. In verse 10, we find sowing goodness. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity. Do you watch for opportunities? Are you conscious of opportunities? Let us do good unto all men. The guy at the gas station, the person at work, the stranger. If there's an opportunity to do them good, take that opportunity. But then especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So certainly, we should pay a special attention to our brothers and sisters in the church and our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think about how Joseph, sitting in prison, and one day that butler and the baker thrown in jail. And Joseph just went down there and he's serving food or whatever and ministering. And they're sitting there all sad and mopey. And he says, "What's wrong, guys?" Well, they tell their story. And he shows them some attention. Then he interprets their dreams for them. And, of course, the baker ended up hung. And the butler was set free and promoted back up to where he had been. And then he forgot Joseph. Sometimes you're going to do good and people are going to be ungrateful or forgetful of it. People do tend to be ungrateful. But you know what? You and I are supposed to. Now, it's better when people are grateful because it's good character. And it makes you feel good. But we're supposed to do good whether folks respond or not. If someone is ungrateful, that says more about them than me. I'm supposed to do my duty. I'm supposed to do good. Whether you appreciate that or not is on you. I'm supposed to do what I know I'm supposed to do. Amen? Well, I'm not going to do any good for anybody because nobody appreciates it. No, you're supposed to do good, and you may do good to 10 people, and then one person really appreciates it. But that's not why you're doing it. You're doing good because you want to sow some good seed so you can get a good harvest back for yourself. One day you may need to be the one that needs some goodness extended to you. And maybe you'll remember how lousy people felt, made you feel about their ingratitude, and maybe you'll show gratitude when someone finally does that back to you. So you have opportunities, then do the right thing. Sow some goodness. Sow generosity. This is giving. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Boy, I've seen that so many times in my own life. Just, it's ridiculous the things I've been able to do and enjoy that I shouldn't have been able to do or enjoy. But you know, when you're involved in the sowing process, don't be shocked when you reap back more than what you put in. Amen? But if you're not involved in that, you're not going to get anything back. He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And then sowing the gospel. Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so keep sowing that gospel. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep inviting folks to church. Keep praying for that lost loved one. Keep sowing that gospel seed and weeping and bearing that precious seed. And one day you'll come back with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. So sow goodness, generosity, the gospel. So this is the unchanging law of God, sowing and reaping. And in due season we shall reap if we faint not. No, I've not seen all the harvest I'd hope to see. But that doesn't mean that I won't see it one day. I'll be watching for it. And I hope to see it one day. But you and I can't faint. We need to be faithful and entrust God for His due season times.